It is a key anecdote in Czech musical history that Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart felt better in Prague than anywhere else. That feeling was based, among other things no doubt, on his outstanding success at the city's Estates Theatre, which was the scene of that and other important moments in Czech cultural history, and it's the focus of today's Spotlight. It is the oldest theatre in Prague, and certainly a structure of great beauty, with a lavish auditorium of grey, green and gold within the prominent facade that tops the fruit market square, Ovecný trh, in the city's old town. Stavovské divadlo, or the Estates Theatre, boasts an unbroken history of almost 230 years as a centre for music, dance and drama in the former Austrian Empire and today in the Czech Republic. All the way back to one Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, whose name is inseparably connected to the place. Speaking of names, the Estates Theatre has had a hard time settling on one over the centuries. It began life as the National Theatre when built in the spring of 1783, but it was called the Nostitz Theatre, first informally, then formally, after the Czech nobleman and nationalist who built it as a theatre for the people. Inevitably, however, it was a theatre for the more moneyed of the people. After a walkout of the Czech actors in 1862, it became the German State Theatre, until an independent Czechoslovakia saw it renamed the Estates, that is, the theatre of the gentry. The communists would have nothing of gentry, though, and for their 40-year era, the theatre was rechristened Tilovo Divadlo, which it remained until the revolution in 1989. What does this have to do with Mozart, you might ask? Well, for one thing, he too went by a variety of names, such as Wolfgango Amadeo, Wolfgang Gottlieb, or even Trazom, Mozart, backwards. But most importantly, he enjoyed a glorious moment here, one that led to others, and he loved Prague for it, as he wrote to a friend in 1787.
I drove with Count Kennel to the so-called Breitfeld Ball, where the cream of Prague's beauties gather. I did not dance and did not flirt. The former because I was too tired, the latter because I am a natural idiot. But I looked on with great pleasure while all these people leaped around in sheer delight at the music of my Figaro, arranged as contradances and waltzes. For people here talk about nothing but Figaro. They go to no opera but Figaro and forever Figaro. This is truly a great honor for me.
Another version of this story is told by Pavel Vondruška. The 85-year-old actor and conductor is well known in the Czech Republic from countless films and the theatre of Jara Zimmermann. But in his spare time, he enjoys putting his 9 languages to use, showing tourists around the Estates Theatre.
When he passed through the streets of Prague, he heard some interesting things. He heard some music from his music from one of his operas. Yes.
And musicians playing his music.
Yes, it wasn't musicians. It was a simple baker apprentice who whistled an air from this opera. And now I can play you this part of this piece. That was one of the very happiest moments for Mozart, when he heard his music in some foreign town.
Il chitarrino
Figaro was a success in Vienna, but it seems to have taken Prague by storm. A Prague newspaper of December 12, 1786, wrote, "No work has ever created such a sensation here as the Italian opera The Marriage of Figaro." The ambitious 31-year-old Mozart was quite obviously thrilled, famously declaring to the delight of Czechs past and present, "Meine Prager verstehen mich," my Pragers understand me. He had come to debut one of his most original masterpieces at the Estates Theatre, Symphony No. 38, which would come to be known as the Prague Symphony, and he left with not only a tremendous boost to his spirits, but a lucrative commission from the theatre's director.
The director of the theater called Bondini, that's Italian, yes, and he was very happy that Mozart was here also happy. And so he accepted an order from the director of the theater to compose for the next season a new opera. And so he promised to compose this opera, and he went to Vienna to prepare the libretto with his librettist Abate Lorenzo da Ponte. And so they have chosen the theme Don Giovanni. And so originated Don Giovanni. Especially for the theater, for Prague, for the musicians of Prague.
Don Giovanni premiered at the Estates Theatre on October 29, 1787, under the baton of Mozart himself. His last visit to the theatre would be in 1791, when he premiered The Clemency of Titus for the coronation of Leopold II as King of Bohemia. It was in Prague that he fell ill and died 3 months later. But Mozart merely stands near the beginning of the Estates Theatre. Of all the historical facts connected to the theatre, my personal favourite is imagining a young Antonín Dvořák working here as a struggling part-time viola player when the theatre needed large orchestras for Wagner performances. But it wouldn't be the most important event in the theatre's later history. If we were to name that, it came in 1835 with a fairly run-of-the-mill comedy about a shoemaker's festival.
One Czech composer, he worked here as a composer and also conductor of the orchestra, and it was Francis Schroep, and he wrote one play for this theater called The Holiday of Shoemakers, and there were many songs, very happy, pretty songs. And the people liked the song because they wanted to sing it. Yes. And so after the end of the First World War, some anthem was necessary. And so they have chosen one of the songs of this opera. And that was the song which is called Kde domov můj? Where is my home? And we sing it today.
Throughout the 19th century, the Estates Theatre remained one of the premier locations for many of the greatest musicians of Europe, and that tradition continues today. An excellent 8-year renovation brought new life to the theatre in the 1990s, adding sumptuous new decor and a rotating stage, maintaining the defining atmosphere of a theatre of the gentry, but truly a theatre of the people.